Let me just begin by saying Happy New Year. I know y'all saying the brother he's not on his meds. He's been at home too long by himself. He's been socially isolated too long. But I just want to say Happy New Year. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment. But before we get to that, allow me, if you will, before we get to the text, to just go back and just by way of introduction, because when we last met, I shared a word with you from the climactic theme, when this is over. And the anticlimactic theme of that was keep the faith. And we looked at Hebrews 10 and verse 38, and we talked about how now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul, talking about the Lord, shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And the argument that I was attempting to put forth was that we are not like the summer soldier or the sunshine patriot of Thomas Paine's 1776 essay, aptly titled, The Crisis. We're not like the ones who can only fight in fair weather and fair skies. We can fight even in these uncertain and unpredictable times, even if we have to fight in the shade of impending dooms of arrows of doom, we will fight on, because that's what we do, because that's who we are. Even though we're living in a time where there are breeding grounds of fear, worry, and doubt, and there is a loss of faith, you see, even in times of corona crisis like these that try men's souls, we will keep the faith. We will keep fighting. We will keep worshiping. We will not waver or wander in our faith. And unlike the summer soldier, remember, the sunshine patriot, we will not shrink, shirk, shrivel, or surrender our faith, but stand firm together in the belief that God can and will triumph and trump over any trials that we may have. When we learn how to live right, move out of our comfort zone, and give the Lord the last word in our lives, and guess what he will do? He is a way maker, I heard somebody say, and what he will do is he will part any Red Sea that you may face. If you but follow him and let the Lord lead and fight your battles. So that when this is over, and there is a when this is over, that God will get the glory. Because through it all, we learn how to keep the faith. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that you have a God that will fight for you? The very least you could do is fight for your faith, to keep your faith. I'm glad, listen. I'm glad I got a God that fights for me. I've never been in a barroom brawl. Okay, now some of you may have. I've never been in a barroom brawl. Okay, just tell the truth. Been in a lot of barrooms, but I haven't been in a barroom brawl. Okay, okay, that's the past. Okay, but listen, my point is this. But if I'm in a barroom brawl, I want somebody with me that can fight. Don't go talking about, hey man, I got to go to the car. I got to go get something. No, brother. I need you to fight right now. I may not be here when you get back. I need somebody with me that can fight. And we got a God that can fight and will fight and does fight for us. Listen, always trust God and learn how to keep it moving. So that when this is over, we come out with a faith that is stronger, bolder, bigger, and better than before. A faith that is next level. A faith that desires to give God our very best. And so we looked at the book of Hebrews, and the book was about better things. Christ is better than the angel. Christ is better than Moses. Christ is better than the Aaronic priesthood. Christ is better than his new covenant is better than the old covenant. Hebrews was a book about better things, better times, that better days are coming. But you must keep the faith. And we learned that the faith that you keep, it will keep you. You don't need and you don't want a lazy faith. I heard Dante say, listen, you better learn how to walk it out. So I want to speak to you this morning from the subject, from the climactic subject of keep pressing on. And from the anticlimactic subject of do more. So if they ask you, what did the preacher preach about on Sunday? Keep pressing on. And do more. Listen, I open by saying happy New Year to you. I recognize, Sister Scott, that we are halfway through the year. And none of us here today would have imagined just 6 months ago the world that we live in today. Brother and Sister Spivey, we started off with dreams and aspirations and goals and resolutions of things that we wanted to do and places where we wanted to be. And now we find ourselves in a world filled with can'ts. We can't be what we used to be. We can't see who we used to see. We can't go where we used to go. We can't do what we used to do. I heard somebody say, are you an American or are you an Americant? Okay. And my thing is this, are you a Christian that can or are you a Christian that can't? Listen, no matter what is going on around us, there are some things that we can't do. We can't lay down. We can't give up. We can't give in. We can't stop. We can't stop worshiping. We can't stop giving God glory. We can't stop striving to be better. We can't stop striving to do better. We can't stop being faithful. We can't stop striving to give God our very best because God deserves our very best. That's why we must keep pressing on. Because that is something that we all can do. That was, as Brother Lopez says, that was a good place for amen. That's something that we all can do. So we must continue to thrive to do what we can do. So, okay. Just humor me. I see you on another screen. So ask me, what is it that we can do, preacher? What is it? Just look at me like you're saying, okay, I see you, sister Spot. Okay, yeah. I tell you what we can do. We can keep preaching. We can keep teaching the gospel. We can keep reaching the lost. We can keep feeding the hungry. We can keep inviting folks to worship. We can keep calling and encouraging and never stop, watch this, and never stop doing the Lord's work. There's an old song that we used to sing. There is much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. He said, Jesus calls for reapers. I must active be. What will thou, O master? I heard Isaiah say over in Isaiah 6 and 8, here am I. Send me. Will you go? Will you get up and get involved and get into it? Because that's living your life next level, God's way. Next level is not about talking about it. Okay, some of y'all ain't. Oh, y'all may not like it, Brother Murphy, after this out. But some of y'all, listen, next level is not about talking about it. It's about doing. Okay. All right. You can trash talk all day. You can put on clothes, look like you can ball. But can you ball? But when you get out on the court, see, I can look real good on the side. But right now, you put me on the court, Rocky, somebody's feeling going to get hurt, and it's probably going to be mine. Okay, you can cook. Girl, I can throw down. Uh-oh, okay. But I tasted your greens. Look, I may not be able to cook, but I know when you can't. Woo! Okay, bad preacher. Listen. It's not about talk, folks. It's about doing. If we want to give God our best, we have to stop talking and start doing. It's time to put up or shut up. I mean, to put it bluntly. But there's no better time than right now to work on Y-O-U. To get yourself together. Stop talking so much and start doing. James put it this way, Okay, I'm talking about James Brown. Y'all just bear with me. You like a dull knife. You just ain't cutting. You talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing. It's not about talk, folks. It's about doing. So let me share with you some things to help keep us pressing on so that we can do more for God and his kingdom. As the orders slowly come down to reopen our country from its socioeconomic slump, I think some of us need to wake up too. It's time to reset and refocus our hearts and minds and to reopen our thoughts on our next level mission. Let me suggest My Life Next Level God's Way by doing more. Talking less and doing more. Now, I ain't mad at you. Okay. Let me smile so y'all don't think a brother mad at you. I'm just want to encourage you, remind you that there are some things that not only that we can do, there are some things that we must do. So that brings me to my text. I know this is a very familiar text. Brother Lopez preaches at the beginning of the year. Oftentimes this is a text that is great for the beginning of the year. And it helps to set the focus. And I just want to refocus us, church. And here's what I want us to keep in mind. And I've got somewhere to take you. I'm going to take you somewhere with this particular pericope of text that I've picked up and I'm pulling on for preaching at this particular period. But I need you to listen with the intent to do. You all hear me now? Listen with the intent to do. If you're just listening to this, it's just another sermon. Brother Murphy just preaching this fourth Sundays. If that's all it is to you, you can just sign off right now. If you have no intention on doing, because it's not going to help you. But if you have the intention, listen. You need to, and I'll share with you again. But whenever you come to worship, whenever you come to hear God's word, and you can write this down, write it down. You need to come and give God your ears and give God your heart and listen with expectation. Listen with expectation for a word from God. And listen with anticipation, eagerly waiting for something to happen. And listen with expectation, and listen with anticipation for a revelation from Scripture. And as I open up this word of God for you today, I pray that you will allow it to change, to transform your life. Watch this. Herein is the reading. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press. One version says, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. So this morning, I really want to focus primarily on the C clause of that verse number 13. He says, but this one thing, and we've dealt with the one thing earlier during the year. What I want you to remember is this, and if you have your paper copy of the Bible, circle this word, these two words, I do. But this one thing I do, and time permitting, we'll look at the forgetting and the reaching and the pressing. But listen to the pronoun, this one thing I do. It's not your brother, not your sister, but it's me, oh Lord. This stuff that I have to do. Let me suggest to you a few more pronouns to get to the next level and give God our best. It starts with I. It starts with you, but it affects us. If we as a church, as a body of Christ, as the Corpus Christi, want to give God our best, it starts with you doing more. It starts with me doing more. But it ends up with us doing more. Boy, you preaching now. It starts off with you and me, but it ends up with us doing more for the Lord. And it looks like this. Let me suggest to you three areas. From the individual perspective, it has to be intentional, and it will affect the collective. If we do this, these are some things that we can do to help us to thrive into the next level. Y'all still with me? Just give me the amen. Look, I'm seeing you over here. Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay. All right. I see Sister Allen. Okay. I see a few amens. Okay. I see my man Steve. Okay. We can get started now. Praise the Lord. It starts with the individual. Here's what he says. Paul says, here is something I have to do. I have to forget. I have to leave some things behind. But doing more for God requires self-honesty. You can't walk it out if you ain't honest. You've got to be honest with me, you got to be honest with yourself. If you want to give God your best, if you want to learn how to give God your very best, learn to let some stuff go. Learn to forget some stuff. You hear the operative word, learn to forget some stuff. God does. He didn't learn, but God forgets a whole lot of stuff. Okay, you say, no, but then what you mean God forgets some stuff? Let me explain. Allow me to elaborate and or elucidate. Forgetting does not mean erase the past. Oh no, baby Bob. It means to neglect. It means to not focus on. It means to leave it alone. You can't focus on the promise if you keep looking at the past. I'll say it again. You can't focus on the promise if you keep looking at the past. Well, what is the promise? Well, in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, here is what Moses was now leaving off the scene. Joshua was now getting ready to take over the place. They're getting ready to bury Moses and carry him on. Joshua is now getting ready to take over command. This admonition to Joshua applies to us today. Now remember, when you're studying in particular the Old Testament, all of the particulars may not apply, but the principle does. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So why are we so fearful of our future in this COVID crisis? Why, preacher? Why? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Thank you, Adrian. The same reason we become fearful in any crisis. Because instead of focusing on the promise, we focus on the past. I heard somebody mention that in Bible study this evening, talking about that this morning. Sometimes we end up focusing on the past. But the things you need to remember about the past is how God brought you through. Then he is a way maker. If he brought you through then, he can bring you through again. God is good for more than just one rescue. But the part of the past that you keep pulling on, Okay, let me make this real touchable. Remember when you used to be little, when we were small children, and you would fall down and you would get a little scab on your hand or on your knee? Okay, and so then you go to mama fix it up, and then you take the bandage off. And then you start. This is what the old, I'm using the old tongue now. This is what the old folk used to say. Boy, stop digging at it. That thing you're never going to heal. You keep digging at it. You keep picking the scab off. That's what happens when you keep rehearsing the past. When you keep going back through your past about things you cannot resolve. Because it's the past. Listen, allow me to show you from the scripture. Hebrews 10 and 16.
This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
We're talking about how to forget. How do you forget? The Lord said, I will do this. I will do that. And then he goes down and he says, and then he adds verse 17, then their sins and their lawless deeds, I will forget. It says, I will remember no more. Okay, that's an interesting phrase because the phrase in the Greek text is written in the middle voice. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, here come your shouting point. I will remember no more. What that actually means, when a subject acts in the middle voice, when a passage is written in the middle voice, that means that the subject acts on itself. Okay. The preacher got it. Okay. The rest of us. Okay. Let me make it more touchable for you. When a passage is written in the middle voice, the subject acts on itself. What that means is it's like this. Okay. I'm saying Steve, cause I can see you. Okay. So don't be offended. Okay. But Steve, you say to Angela, baby, you got enough black shoes. Don't go buy any more black shoes, baby. Okay, I ain't trying to start no fight in your house. I'm just saying. Okay. And then she goes to the mall. Well, when we could go to the mall. And she looks and she sees a sign that says S-A-L-E. And she's like most sisters, she just loses her mind. Sale. Black shoes. Oh, Lord. And then she says, oh, no, I'm not going to. Get the black shoes because my husband said I should get any more black shoes. That's not what the middle voice means. She didn't do that because an outside source told her not to do it. You follow me? So when a passage is written in middle voice and it says, I will remember no more, it paints a picture like this. She says to herself, self, I got enough black shoes. I don't need any more. She goes to the mall. She sees the sign that says sale. She says to herself, them some nice shoes. I will not buy them. Didn't nobody else tell her? She made a conscious decision not to do it. You see, forgetting is a choice. I choose not to recall, not to remind, not to remember, not to ruminate, not to chew the cud, not to dwell on whatever it was that happened in the past. I choose not to do it. You don't make me, you don't force me. I make my own decision. You know why? Because if I stay in the past, I will not see the path. Boy, you preaching that. Woo! The children of Israel, part of their problem when you were looking last week about the Waymaker is that they couldn't stop looking at the past, and they were missing the. Okay, I really am preaching to myself. There is no, just so that you know, as I pass on, I'm gonna move on real quick and move to the end. There is no admonition to forgive and forget anywhere in the Bible. It doesn't say that. What did you say, Brother Murphy? I said, it does not say to forgive and forget. Man said that. The Bible says, forgive. Choose not to remember it anymore. Forgiveness is a cognitive function. Thank you, Brother Lopez. That requires the forgiver to make a conscious choice to not think about something, because you cannot think about something. It is possible. How long do you think a husband would stay with a wife, or wife would stay with a husband that was unfaithful if they chose to remember the hurt that was caused to them? It wouldn't last. They have to make a conscious choice to move on. Unless you have Alzheimer's, you can't forget. The devil wants to keep your hurt, your past in front of you. And if your focus is on the past, you won't see the path. So let me rush on and explain something to you real briefly. Just stop digging. Just let it go. If you're going to leave some things that are not good for you, some things that are not healthy, toxic to your life, habits and hangups and hurts that are holding you hostage, you can't erase hurt and pain, but you don't have to live in it. Stop digging in. Because if you look back too much soon, you'll be heading that way. Focusing on your past will cause you to form a let's go back to Egypt committee. Yeah, that's right. I said it. You'll sit down and you'll try to form a let's go back to Egypt committee. Exodus 14, 1 and 2. Read that, Tyler. What does that say?
And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea.
Brother Lopez dealt with that text on last week. There they were between a rock and a hard place. See on one side, they've got Pharaoh on the other side. In verse number 10, it says what? Here's the rest of the story.
And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? It is not that this word that we did not tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone.
Didn't we tell you back in Egypt to let us alone so we can serve thee? Wait a minute. You just been free and you want to go back? You's free. That's like here. Okay. What was it? Who was it? Harriet Tubman that freed the slaves? Somebody nod. Is that the right one? It's like Harriet Tubman freeing the slaves. We done made it to Cleveland. Well, I'm going back to Tennessee. What? Are you out of your mind? You have been delivered. Why would you want to go back? Now, let me suggest to you, we're talking about giving God our best. There are some things in our past that we just have to let go. Even in the midst of this COVID, corona crisis and all that stuff, there are some things that may never go back to exactly the way that they were. But we got to keep pressing on, folks. And you must first be honest with yourself. And if you're not there yet, just admit to yourself, well, I ain't there yet. Well, all I can say is you better get on board because the soul train has already left the station. You can't move forward until you're honest with yourself. Confession is good. You need to be honest. But confession without a plan is just talking loud and saying nothing. Make a plan starting with today. This is your new year. Do better. Give God your best and do more. Remember, the best things that God has for you are always in front of you, not behind you. Stop looking at where you have been. Watch this. Stop looking at where you have been and what was, and start looking at where you can be and what you can do for your God right now. Two questions. Let me hurry to a close. Okay, y'all don't like this kind of preaching. Let me hurry to a close then. Two questions. The question is, ask not what your God can do. Your God, our God, can do anything. But what can you do for your God? The question is, what do you need to do to leave some things behind? Anything that is stopping you from thriving, you need to forget it, let it go, and leave it behind. It's a new year, it's a new day, and God wants your very best. What you don't leave, you grieve. It's time to move on. New Maywood Church of Christ, it's time to do and start reaching for what God has in front of us. COVID-19 has shown us that there are things we can do without. The Message version of Philippians 3, 7 and 9 puts it this way. Because of Christ, yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. The New Living Translation puts it this way. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, and I count it all as garbage. I count it all as dung. It's waste so that I could gain Christ. You have to let some stuff go if you want to gain Christ. So as I hasten to a close, so how do we give God our best? How do we give God our best? How is the question?
Tell us.
Thank you for asking, WD, all the way from Dallas, Fort Worth area. We do so by reaching for the things that he has in front of us. And the word reaching, we understand it means to strain. It paints the picture of a runner at the finish line. I've heard all those things, and I remember that, and that's true. But I like the idea of the picture of the weightlifter. You see, you don't know. Okay, I started into lifting weights, you know, just a few. Okay, all right. But here's the point. But when I started going to the gym, I had men there that would challenge me to lift more. You feel me? The only way you're going to do more is somebody has to challenge you. Because on your own, you're just going to do enough just to give. Look, let's just be honest. When it comes to the kingdom of God, all you ever did, now, if I'm talking to you, if I'm not talking to you, but let's be honest now. When it comes to the kingdom, all you ever did was the bare minimum until you started doing more for some folk. You see folk shouting and screaming and clapping their hands and why they say, because you don't understand what God has done for me, and I realize I've got to do more. The only reason I'm attempting to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ was because about 10 years ago, somebody challenged me to do more. I'm praying, I'm singing, but somebody challenged me, a brother named Charlie McClendon challenged me to do more. And then taught me how to do more. And instead of just fighting and fussing with folk, I started baptizing folk. Started adding people to the kingdom. This ain't about me. It's about what somebody saw me and challenged me. And I'm challenging you right now, church, that we can do more. It is not the preacher's responsibility to do more. It's our responsibility. Remember, it starts with I'm challenging you to lift more, pray more, sing more, fast more, love more, laugh more, give God more of your time. And as I close, be involved, do more, keep pressing on to give God your very best. Knowing how good God is and has been to you in spite of you doing the bare minimum, how can you be satisfied? Not reaching, not applying, not putting forth an effort to do more for God and his kingdom. And as I close, finally, after forgetting and reaching, we must keep pressing on. We got that. Individually reaching, intentionally forgetting, and collectively pressing on together for the prize of the high calling of God. Like oarsmen on a ship, we must keep struggling, straining, and striving at the oars of life and keep pressing on to do more, to live our lives. Next level, God's way, by giving God our very best. As I close, do more than exist, thrive. Do more than hear, listen. Do more than agree, cooperate. Do more than talk, communicate. Do more than grow, mature. Do more than spend, invest. Do more than decide, discern. Do more than consider, commit. Do more than forgive, forget. Do more than show up, serve. Do more than say, do. Do more than read, apply. Do more than reach, stretch. Do more than pray, fast. Do more than just give. But learn how to give more. Do more than just live. Learn how to give your life to Christ. Do more than confess, make a plan. Do more than repent, respond. Do more than believe, be baptized. If you have not been baptized and added to the body of Christ, I want to encourage you today. We baptize 24/7, even in the midst of COVID situations. We still can baptize you and add you to the body of Christ. You've heard the word. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again for the remission of your sins. Then be buried in water for the remission of your sins and added to the body of Christ. As I move to a close, let me just say this, church. Keep pressing on. And let us all collectively do more. I'm challenging you this morning.